Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
hey.
What's up?
Yeah, I got no World Series. And I'm bummed out.
I know. I was thinking about that too.
Right? It's like
it kind of sucks.
I get in a flow, right? I guess like three days in a row, and now I got a break. And you know,
baseball being a daily game,
yes,
it ropes you in.
Yeah.
And then it has a day off, and you're like, "What the hell? What are you resting? It's not
travel
that hard."
Day? L.A. to Toronto? Come on.
How about my Blue Jays?
Your Toronto Blue Jays. You never doubted.
I've just been on them the whole
You've
time.
You've never once wavered in your belief of your Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, just never. You know, I called it.
Yeah.
And it's about to happen. And
it must feel good when you make a bold prediction like that. And you just say, you know what?
Yeah, I just.
A lot of people think I'm a fool. A
lot of people.
But, you know, here you are.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm right about a lot of stuff. What can I say?
Yeah, that's why you're the best. That's why you're the noted news.
Well, that's part of the reason.
The noted newsman that you are. I guess we got Thursday Night Football. That's something.
And that's exactly my thought is I was sitting here thinking, I was getting kind of sports sad. I'm like, no baseball.
You're getting ready to turn to the NBA. You're getting ready to the warm embrace.
And then I'm like, oh, man, the Ravens. My Ravens play tonight. I predicted they would be 2-5. I don't know if you remember that. But
yes. Well, against the mighty Miami Dolphins. Although, if you look at the Ravens, like, write them off at your own peril, because they've got the crappy-ass Dolphins, the crappy-ass Vikings, the crappy-ass Browns, and the crappy-ass Jets. Oh, and then, by the way, the Cincinnati Bengals. Dude, you're going to look up, and they're going to be above 500. Like, and granted, their defense is terrible, and they may stumble along the way, but if you look at the records of the teams that they're about to play, they are going to be significantly favored in their next like 7 games. So just,
well, I predicted 2-5 and then 10-5.
If there is going to be one of those stories that you look up and say,
wait,
what?
Is that right? They play 17.
They play 17.
Yeah.
Yes.
10-7. Yeah. Wait. Oh, 12-5.
You're mad. You're gonna break out some fingers and toesies?
Isn't that so they're 2-5, right?
They're 2-5.
Yeah. I predicted 12-5.
12-5.
So they will win 10 in a row.
Well, I don't know about that many, but
who's going to beat them?
The Dolphins are 2-6. The Vikings,
your Dolphins.
The Vikings are 3-4 and are turning to JJ McCarthy, and they don't want to.
I thought they were going with the other quarterback.
What do you mean?
The other guy?
No, I think JJ McCarthy's starting.
Yeah, I pulled a clip today for our injury report saying that he is. So hopefully,
hopefully
that's true.
I thought it was the other guy.
No, now
who's the other guy? The Minnesota guy.
It does. They went and got
John
what's
Wolford.
His name? It's like Max. Who? Is it Bromser? Brozer?
Yeah, that guy. Well, he's from Minnesota.
Yeah, it's something. It's Max.
Joey likes him.
Max Castle, my ass. No one knows who the hell he is.
I think they should put him in there.
But his name is Max. Where is he from?
I think he played at Minnesota because I think
he was
the guy that Joey said he really liked when Joey was there being a mentor at the combine.
He looks like a musketeer. He's got that Van Dyke mustache thing going on.
Oh, that goatee sucks.
Yeah, it's a swashbuckling sort of thing. But yeah, he's thrown for 42 big yards, and he has a QBR of 18. So
I think that's the guy.
That's the guy. So they should beat the crappy-ass Dolphins. Then they got the 3-4 crappy-ass Vikings, and then the 2-6 Browns and the 1-7 Jets. I mean, voila, you're above 500, and then I think four of your last six are against Cincinnati and the mighty Joe Flacco and whatever the hell Pittsburgh's rolling out there. So right off the and I'm not saying the Ravens are good. Now, I had the Ravens going to the Super Bowl. The Ravens are not going to the Super Bowl. Their defense is warmed over garbage.
Long season.
But
long season.
They're not going to the Super Bowl, but they will be a playoff team because they play in a garbage division and their schedule just sets up so well.
There's really no way to predict the Super Bowl. So it's kind of hard to say that. But I'd also say too, like if you've got it, if you're thinking they're going to the playoffs,
yeah.
I mean, they did the same thing last year where we thought their defense sucked and then they made the Kyle Hamilton change and they got really good.
Yeah.
And they're kind of trending toward that same thing this year. Yeah. With a couple moves they made, a couple tweaks, guys getting healthy. So, dude, I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs. I mean, that's a long time down the road.
It's a long time down the road. And the other one, too, is...
But if you're looking for a surprise team in the Super Bowl, it's a team like that. Yeah.
Well, anytime you have eight back there, and I know the postseason, you know, people can say what they want about him.
The postseason people.
Well,
who are those people?
It has not worked out for Lamar in the postseason.
Am I a postseason person?
Are you postseason?
Oh, yeah. You mean like,
Well, there's always that, you know, whether it's in any sport, you can be baseball Jesus.
Peyton Manning was this way.
Peyton Manning, exactly, right? You can be the greatest thing since sliced bread, but when it doesn't go your way in the postseason, then we inevitably turn to, well, he can't win the big one. Well, he can't until he does. And eventually, you would think that Lamar Jackson, who should have been the MVP last year, but they gave it to Allen, and that's, you know, that's fine. You know, he certainly was a worthy candidate. Lamar Jackson is one of the best players to ever play that position, and we just don't talk about it because of the postseason stuff. But just like you say, as long as Mahomes is back there, and Kansas City is just a better team than Baltimore, they prove it every single year. But when Mahomes is back there, you have a puncher's chance. And if Lamar is healthy, you have a puncher's chance.
Oh,
and,
show.
Yeah. And so I just...
Very hot sports talk right
now. Right off the Ravens at your own peril.
You're thinking some serious sports. Sports top of mind for you.
Well, I got no World Series. Now I got to turn to this. And let's be honest. Last night, to me, it was... As much as I it was fun to watch the Blue Jays.
Our Blue Jays.
It kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, it sucked. It was boring.
It was like deflating.
Dodgers can't hit.
No.
Dodgers suck. What are they doing in the World Series?
Man.
She puts the Mariners in blue. Who knew that the Mariners Blue Jays was for the World Series?
Would be the most interesting of the series.
My dad called me today and said, it looks like the Dodgers should have put Mariners jerseys on because they are batting the same. And I'm like, you know, Dad.
Maybe this means that the Blue Jays pitchers are actually good.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
But nah, I'm not willing to go there. I'm going to blame the Dodgers for sucking.
Well, I mean, it was the greatest, rookie performance by a pitcher in the World Series since, like, 1940. Some dude whose name, it was like Duke something or other.
Why do you think young pitchers jive right away now in today's game? Like, that guy was drafted last year.
Yeah, he was playing Swag. I was listening to Swag this morning. He said he was gone by the time they got around. He played in Vancouver by the time they got to Hillsborough, but... had he stuck around for like a couple more weeks, he would have pitched against the Hillsborough
in
Hawks.
In Hillsborough. And now he's pitching, he's 12 striking strikeouts. Out 12 guys, 12, not just 12 guys, 12 Dodgers in the World Series. No. Why do you think pitchers, because Skeens came right, I mean, Skeens is special, but clearly this guy is too.
Sure.
A lot of guys do it now.
Mazeroski was doing this year, we were having a lot of success, and we've seen the rookies come in and pop.
Yeah, I don't think it's Bill Mazeroski. I think you're talking about, are you talking about Miz?
Yeah, isn't it Mazeroski?
Mazeroski, yeah.
What did I say?
I thought you said Mazeroski, like Bill of the old Pirates.
No, he did not hit
famous
that,
home run
he
guy.
He did not hit the home run hurt. I thought, yeah, but isn't it Mazeroski?
I think it's the Miz, yeah.
The Miz,
you
yeah.
said Maz.
Sorry.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Miz.
Hey, don't worry about it.
That guy. The Polish hammer?
Most people make mistakes, not me, but yeah, most people do.
Yeah.
Anyway, why do you think pitchers... can do this in today's game, and they couldn't in the olden days.
I don't know.
Or could they in the olden days? They just didn't do it.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we talk about like these unprecedented like seasons. Dwight Gooden had the greatest rookie season of all time, and that was in 19...
How long was he in the minors?
He was young. I think when Doc did that, I want to say he was 19 or 20 for the Mets, so it wasn't that long. But if you look at his rookie season, and that was, what, 84, I believe, that's, I mean, no one's done it. I mean, that was the best rookie season, so it's, we've seen it. Maybe we see it more, but it's not completely unprecedented to see someone come into the bigs and just, you know, take the world by storm, and then cocaine happens.
Yeah, he was down there. Okay, so he pitched... Looks like 10 games.
And that was it? And then he came. He was 19 years old when he made his debut.
Well, he was 18. 19. He pitched. He went straight from A ball to the majors. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
I knew he didn't spend much time there. I mean, it's obviously he was
A ball.
19.
And then he comes up to the Mets and goes 17-9 mm-hmm. with a 2.6 ERA.
Yeah, fit Rookie of the Year, All Star, and he finished second in the Cy Young Award.
Lynchburg Single A team, he was 19-4 with a 2.5 ERA, and they were like, "Yeah, you're good. Let's get you on up."
276 strikeouts, by the way, his rookie year.
But he did pitch two seasons in the minors.
Okay,
because he pitched his when he was 17.
Yeah.
He was in the minors, and then his. The year he was 18, he was at Lynchburg, and then 19 with the Mets.
Yeah.
But still, like that, I mean, so why haven't more guys done it between him and all these guys now? It makes no sense to me.
I don't know.
Is it just they have better stuff now?
I do think guys have, I just think in general, I think the way the game is being played now, it also may lead to arms falling off, but
yeah,
I just don't think that stuff existed, like travel ball and year-round and private coaches and I think Doc was just one of those guys that was just no matter what era he played in, Doc Gooden would have been fine. Like, there's just those guys. Jim Brown would have played in the NFL today.
Is that true of you, Savage?
I don't know.
Is that true of Skeens?
I just think guys nowadays, Gladwell, the 10,000 hour rule?
Yeah, Malcolm Gladwell, yeah.
I just think these guys now from the time, like, I walk my dog up by the high school all the time, and they have the sports fields out there. I don't think there's a day, a weekend, any time of the year where there's not someone up there playing. They're not playing. They're just working. They're on the mound. They got the little like batting cage thing set up. And guys are just working year-round now. And I think there's this emphasis now that every dad who didn't make it thinks his kid's going to be the next guy. And they're pushing them. And they got private coaching and all this. And so I don't know from a durability standpoint if that's good, but I do think guys are probably better prepared and have played more games, have played more pressure-packed games, have more pitches than ever before.
Would you like to know what ChatGPT says?
Yeah. What does the chatter say?
Well, first of all, they lauded me for a great question.
Yeah. Good for you.
So thank you. Thank you.
Does that make you feel good when the computer gives you the...
It does. Yeah, great question. Thank you, ChatGPT. Modern pitcher development focuses on stuff, not polish. Okay?
Okay.
So teams used to want pitchers to learn how to pitch in the minors, refine command, sequencing, and stamina. Now, if you have the velocity and spin rate and quality stuff, yeah. They'll get you on up and say, we'll work with you on how to pitch as we go. Number two, analytics and data-driven confidence. Pitch design tools, high-speed cameras, and biomechanics labs help teams accelerate a player's development. Three, service time and roster management have evolved. Changes in the CBA, that's a big one, have allowed young pitchers to be used aggressively while they're cheap. And then you have pitchers don't develop durability the same way anymore. The old model doesn't fit the modern workload approach. Teams now build starters up gradually and limit innings. And then five, teams want impact arms immediately.
Yeah, so they've now gone to a practice, at least as a young pitcher. You'd rather have a Tommy John surgery, like in late high school or early college, to get it out of the way so you can have that velocity, so you can have that durability ready, you know, for your major league debut. These guys, it's funny you talk about the biomechanics too, Rob. You now can learn a pitch in 2 months. You know, going to the pitching lab, as you just said, as opposed to when I was a kid, it took you a year or two to add like a nasty slider.
Yeah, and I never really understood that, why it always took so long.
Yeah, I don't
just throw it.
That's not my... Shockingly enough, I never spent any time on the mound. That's not my...
Well, as you know, I did.
Yes. I mean, you know, Barron's baseball. I mean, you're a freaking...
I was striking out fools right and left.
Local legend. Even as a fat little leaguer, they never let me... I got behind the plate, but they never let me on the mound. That was not my Never thrown a single pitch in my life, so that's well, out of my element.
I'll tell you what this is going to do. It's really going to hurt our ability to determine who can win a World Series because we don't know these magical arms that these teams are going to bring up later in the season and then ride them all the way to the world to the title.
Is there something, too, about just having a live arm this time of year? That I mean, the Mets didn't make the postseason, but the Mets called up every young guy they had. And, yeah, it fell short, but their best pitchers at the end of the year were all guys that were 22 and below that were making their first handful of starts. And every one of them throws stuff.
Were good, but also some of them were shaky.
Yeah, well,
like if you notice, like I mean, even if a pitcher isn't that effective, if you look at let's just look at this series, Jays and Dodgers.
Yeah.
If you, like it's a very small margin for error. In other words, if you're not reliable, Clayton Kershaw's a Hall of Famer and he's not reliable and they will not throw him. They reluctantly threw him into that game that went 18 innings.
Yeah.
So you really have to be pretty good.
Yeah.
You have to be reliable or you're not pitching.
Well, and the other one, too, is...
So it's not just arms.
No, but you only have to be reliable for about four games. Like, I mean, it's a small sample size, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's what you Savage is doing.
Yeah, if you Savage... How much you want to bet that at some point next year we look at you Savage and be like, well, what happened to him?
Right.
I don't know. He rode a heater and...
He was hot.
And the guys on the other side hadn't really looked at him and hadn't been able to get a full maybe scouting report on what he likes to do. And it's like when you see rookie quarterbacks come in the NFL and there's like a 5-game stretch where you're like, hey, this is really good. And then someone figures out, hey, he can't escape the pocket to the left, so we're going to collapse that side. Or he can only do half field reads or he can't throw to his left. And, you know, you start taking it away and maybe that settles everything down.
Well, I got to go get engineering because I'm having some computer issues.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Shocking. And I'd play the Odyssey station drop, but I can't because of my computer. So we will take a break. And when we return, we will wrap up last night's World Series game and then look forward to games 6 and 7. Put a bow on that. And then, Jace, I see right here in the notes.
Oh, I love notes.
College football Thursday reach around.
It's here. It's my favorite.
It's here. You know who's not here? Dan Lanning. He will not be on today as they are recruiting or something.
We have some Lanning sound today, though. He was making the rounds. Kind of.
Well, I didn't want to do this here, but why are we not part of the rounds?
Oh, yeah, because we're not national.
I mean,
yeah, well.
He was making the rounds, but lo and behold, he won't be on our show.
No, he will not. Are you Rich Eisen?
I am going to have to call him out on that.
Are you Rich Eisen?
Have I
been sitting next to Rich Eisen this entire time?
I am no Rich Eisen.
There you go.
I do not claim
that is your answer
to be Rich Eisen. However, I would say this. Rich Eisen is no Isaac Ropp.
It's a valid point.
Okay.
And neither one of you has been in my kitchen.
Okay. So let's start with a little more World Series chatter and then our College Football Thursday reach around coming up on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, engineering, working on my computer, you'll be happy to know.
Thank God.
They're very receptive in the engineering department. Although they did not fix it.
I wait till you call him by the wrong name.
Yeah, what's his name?
I'm not telling you.
I think it's Dan.
There you go.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They don't know what the
I was really hoping doing. That you were going to drop a Dave or something.
Dan's great.
I love when you call someone by
way
the wrong
better
name.
Than Johnny or whatever his name was. Jamie, right? Right? Am I right?
Yes.
Thank you. Dave, Dan, has
Dave
painted Halloween nails.
Yeah, he's always, he's a nail painter.
He's like Caleb Williams.
Yes.
I wonder if he can throw a football.
I don't know. He doesn't strike me as a sportsy type.
You know what? I'm pissed at Caleb Williams.
Why is that? Because he's not very good?
Well, so I had Chicago in a teaser last week.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw. You probably didn't.
I did see.
Baltimore was up 14 on the Bears. Mm-hmm. Da Bears. And Chicago got it to the 1 yard line. Now, they weren't going to win the game.
No.
But just shove it in, meaningless touchdown. I get my teaser cover, and everyone's happy. Baltimore wins.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams could not punch it in.
No. No.
I hate Caleb Williams.
I think a lot of people in Chicago are starting to come around to that way of thinking.
I mean, dude, he just kind of panics, and he's just weird.
Well, it is very early, but this is always the be careful. Like, Caleb Williams was viewed as this generational player, and Patrick Mahomes and all this stuff. Trevor Lawrence was probably the last guy that got viewed this way, and what do we think of Trevor Lawrence? It's like, eh. Man. So when you look at this draft class, like, I mean, Jaden Daniels and Drake May both look like the real deal. I think most people right now, believe it or not, would probably take Drake May despite Jaden Daniels' rookie season. But that whole draft class is weird because Caleb was the two biggest prospects that couldn't miss have missed. Caleb, and I'm saying they can't come around, but Caleb Williams is not the end all to be all. And do you remember who was the other can't miss once in a lifetime generational player in that draft? Wide receiver.
No.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with what Marvin Harrison Jr. is doing
Why
in Arizona.
Does he suck?
But it's kind of like, it's not great. It's just not great. They're not even the best in their class. And you get into Penix and J.J. McCarthy, but, you know,
Bo Nix.
Yeah. Bo Nix down there who's had success.
Well, anyway.
So it's kind of one of those, be careful when we start talking about, he's greatest prospect ever.
I have sports spite. Just
at Caleb Williams.
Just shove it in the end zone, please.
Shove it in.
Okay.
Take your paint and nails and shove it in.
Push them in.
Yeah, just freaking figure it out. I mean, you're at the 1 yard line.
I love it. Just figure it
God,
out, man.
It's not. It can't be that hard. It was first and goal.
It really shouldn't be from the
God.
Line. You should be able to. You should be able to quarterback sneak it four times in a row and get a yard.
It's not as hard as hitting a Yasavage curveball.
No.
That guy looked great.
Except he looks exactly like, is it Peter Sarsgaard, the actor? Look up Peter Sarsgaard. He's one of those guys that when you look him up, it was driving me nuts. I was watching Yusavage pitch yesterday, and I'm like, who is this son of a bitch? And I was sitting there racking my brain, and I thought about the Magnificent Seven. He was the bad guy in the Magnificent Seven. He's been in a bunch of stuff. And
He's
I was
always
like,
the bad guy.
And I was like, that guy. And I looked him up. They are freaking clones of each other. And I can't see it any other way now. And in his just his eyes, he's got a weird vibe, and yet
his eyes are very far apart.
Yes, and yet he's mowing down,
which makes him very untrustworthy.
Arguably the greatest lineup we've seen in 30 years,
I know.
And no one can touch him.
Well, I mean, after that 18 game heartbreaker, holy crap!
Yeah,
I mean, the Jays, you know, this could be if they finish this off, this is one of the better World Series wins in a long time.
Yeah,
because the Dodgers are loaded, and the Jays.
Well, they were in last place last year.
Who?
The Jays.
Yeah.
That's a worst to first sort of thing, and now one away from
now
winning a World Series.
They still have to finish it off.
Well,
but
if Yamamoto comes out and does Yamamoto things, then we get what everyone wants, and that's a game seven. Everyone's available. You know, anyone can go. And at that point, I just, that's a coin flip. But I just, right now, you got to wonder if they're, the Dodger lineup right now just isn't,
it's slumping.
It's not doing anything.
One at bat last night with a runner in scoring position.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
One.
I'll tell you what, the whole walking.
That's Uno in Spanish.
Walking Ohtani's out the window. They're going right at him.
Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, and Smith combined, one for 15.
Yeah, it's not good.
Last night.
No. And honestly, not even really good at bats. Like, balls weren't necessarily hit hard. You know, sometimes, you know, you're on it and guys are making plays. And the Dodgers are striking out way too much. And one of their big strengths is the bottom of the lineup has been a real force for them all year. It's not doing anything right now.
Ohtani hit a couple lasers, but they were caught. So they're saying, well, I think the interesting thing, too, is how the Dodgers deploy Ohtani. I mean, you know, it's still, even though it's going back to Toronto, it's still kind of advantage Dodgers because they've got Yamamoto.
Yep.
And then they've got all hands on deck, including Ohtani, which you can kind of throw him in wherever.
Yeah.
To pit. I don't know. That's tough. Team Japan is tough.
So it'll be Yamamoto, and then what? If Yamamoto does God.
You're doing great.
I'm doing great. If Yamamoto does what he's been doing, then we'll get what, Glasnow?
Probably. But quick hook.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll have all hands. If Yamamoto does what he's been doing.
Sure.
Dodgers. Yeah. I mean, it can be Glasnow to Ohtani to Snell to who am I missing?
Well, Sasaki, I guess, would be
Sasaki. So
the only one that wouldn't go would be Yamamoto, although, you know, we saw.
What if he pitches both games?
Did Bumgarner pitch back-to-back games?
Well,
I know he came
in
relief, or was there a day in between?
No,
that?
I think he, no. I don't think it was the next day.
That's what I'm saying. Was there a day in between?
Yes.
Because this would not be. This would be literally pitching Friday and Saturday.
I saw him pitch, so it was game five. Okay. So Bumgarner pitched game 1-5.
Took six off and then came back and relieved.
Yeah, and then in seven, and they traveled. So it was a 3-day rest.
Okay.
Right. But he came in and pitched like five innings in relief.
Yeah.
Goober.
Someone just put this on Twitter or on the old text, and I saw Dave Bartu. I saw this same tweet, and I had not seen this before. Bartu tweeted out that Yusavage had not picked up a baseball until he got to high school.
I don't know. Is that true?
I don't. Bartu tweeted it today, and then someone sent that in on the text line.
That's nuts.
Bartu said something because, you know, Dave's doing this big thing now with like genetic. I guess it's not genetic. It's like athletic testing. Bartu's into this analytic thing now, where based on your athletic score, like. Supposedly, now we can have a real good predictor. Do you have the ability to go on and play at a higher level simply based on your athletic score? And his thing is, there's more and more evidence that it's really not about having a private coach or whatever. Either you have the goods or you don't. Now, if you have the goods, all of that coaching and stuff can certainly take you further. But we're kind of spitting in the ocean with a lot of times where if your kid doesn't have the raw athletic ability, no matter what you do, you don't learn to be fast. It's just like you can't. You can't learn to be fast. Either you are or you aren't. And so his thing was, for all of these parents that have their kids in the 24/7, 365, what does it feel knowing that Yusavage didn't pick up a baseball till high school and now here he is?
Dude, that was like 3 years ago. 4 years ago.
Yeah.
He was 17.
Well, I mean, high school would be 15, 16, so.
But still.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's
his story.
I think that's kind of one of those is.
It's incredible.
You know, someone reached into your crib when you were a baby and gave you a
probably
little.
Probably God.
Probably.
Don't you think?
Well, I would go with Tom Cruise.
The Lord.
Some sort of deity reached in and it's like, we all want to believe that little Johnny, if he just works hard enough. And the truth of the matter is, it's not.
You think Bartu will test me?
See where you're at it.
Yeah.
At what, 50?
50.
That might be a little.
I'm 50.
I think we might be
I'm a
little,
man. I'm 50.
I think we might be a little past that.
Why? What if I have the goods? What if it just says, like,
senior,
oh my God.
You should have been a.
Why were you not a world champion bowler? I don't know. I just never bowled.
You think you're still going to wait to find that savant level thing? You're going to walk into a guitar center and just sit down at the drums and be like, oh my God.
I should do that. You guys at Guitar Center.
Animal.
I'm coming in tomorrow. Or no, Saturday.
Is it possible that there is someone out there with a Mozart level sit down and play that has never touched a piano?
Well, I So the Malcolm Gladwell thing, you go back to the 10,000 hours.
Sure.
He talks a lot in there about Mozart.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, especially with pianists, because he says not all disciplines are the same. Like basketball, I think you could be born with, it kind of falls into the category of you could be touched by the hand of Tom Cruise.
Sure. We've seen it. Like,
but he brings up the point. It's just a theory, but his theory is for things like piano, it is not. It is. They're often people who have access to high level or the best level of instruction at a very young age, and then become, I don't know, there's all these parameters, but they become obsessed with it. And so it's like where they were brought up, what they were exposed to, how much they practiced, and what level of instruction they were given is, and then the 10,000 hours thing, you do it over and over and over and over and over, and you can become expert at it.
But we do know that there are.
But not everything falls into the piano.
Yeah. I just know there are times where someone literally goes in and picks up a guitar, and within a few minutes, they're playing chords. Within a few weeks, they're playing high. Like, there are savants.
Yeah, they can hear.
They can hear it.
The sounds.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you
that's the same with piano, but that doesn't mean that they're like, that's an amazing skill to have, but you still have to hone that skill.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're sitting down and playing a sold-out concert.
No.
You know what I mean?
But
there's two different things there.
But there's also the case of there are people that can sit down and for the first time seeing a piano can play, and I'm just asking, is there a 50-year-old man sitting around somewhere that has never touched a piano that one day is going to be walking through a church or a bar or something and is going to sit down at a piano and be like, oh, yeah, this kind of makes sense. And he's going to start hammering out a tune.
I would say, I'm going to channel my inner Malcolm Gladwell. Yeah. He'd be sitting right here with his little hair.
Yeah.
And he would say very softly, he would say, that is not the case. But there are many people in the world who, if they were given that level of instruction at a very young age, could have picked it up and become expert at it.
I love the quiet after voice. It makes me feel...
Well, he's very soft-spoken.
I don't know if I've ever really heard him speak.
Yeah, he's very soft-spoken.
I'm more of aware of him as opposed to actually reading any of his
things. I think you
were
gone, but Dan Lanning says he's a big Malcolm Gladwell guy. Yeah, when we talked to him when you were out.
Someone's saying, Malcolm. Are you a chipping savant?
I'm a pretty good chipper.
Yeah,
but again, it's all practice.
I honestly don't think I've ever consumed anything outside of like third-party Malcolm Gladwell.
Well, anyway... they are saying $2,000 per seat in Toronto.
How much?
$2,000 US.
That's not as bad as...
They're calling it the most expensive sporting event ever on record in Canada.
Huh, for really?
$2,000, yeah.
Huh.
Somebody tweeted, I saw that they said, well, what if the Leafs had a Stanley Cup final in Toronto, or Game 7 in Toronto?
Yeah. That had to be more than that, right?
Well, they said, what if they did? Yeah. I don't know. Have they? They had a Game 7?
Oh, not for a long, long time. The last Canadian team to win a Stanley Cup was in like 92.
Yeah, so they were saying, well, just wait until the Leafs.
Yeah,
or the Canadians.
It'll bump up.
Yeah, well, the Canadians.
Well, I just remember like when the Cubs were in the World Series, my daughter was living in Chicago, and we were trying to get her into our World Series game, and it was more than $2,000. But I guess that's Chicago trying to break a curse.
$2,000, that's pretty good.
It's a steep price.
So the Dodgers payroll, $350 million. Just wanted to point out, I had to look up today. I wanted to look up the Jays payroll.
Yeah, it's, by the way, we got to stop with the, there was one of the National guys that was bloviating on the small market thing, and he's full of it, but.
What does that mean?
Oh.
Like, Toronto's not a small market.
They're not. They're,
was he saying they were?
Well, he was trying to make a point today, and I just happened to be stumbling across about how small market teams are having, you know, their way right now in sports. And I'm like, what?
Toronto's not small market.
No, Toronto is one of the largest cities in North America, and they have the fifth highest payroll in Major League Baseball.
Seventh. I looked it up.
I thought it was fifth.
They're seventh. $255 million. Interestingly enough, all the teams in between the Dodgers at number one and the Jays at number seven made the playoffs with the exception of the Mets.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I just wanted to point that out.
I knew
out.
Where that was going. That was great. Appreciate it.
Just awesome. Needed to.
Cool,
you know,
everybody. Great.
Wanted to say that. All seven of them.
You want to point
six
out
of the seven?
Would you like to point out that's the most expensive payroll to never make the postseason?
Yeah, we already did.
You want to point out that the other record that they broke was also
their own.
Their own.
Yeah, the
from
Mets.
From
yeah,
two years ago?
We've talked about it. Yeah,
it's awesome. Cool. Yeah. Cool, everybody.
All right. Well, the World Series.
See right here. I got Uh-oh. USA Today. They're fifth.
Well, I looked it up today and it was seventh. Mm. So perhaps it's different. Mm. They're just using different metrics. At any rate, the World Series continues tomorrow at. Well, I don't know what time. Is it a day game?
Oh, I can't.
They're all 5 p.m.
I can't imagine that that would be a day. Put the deciding game of the World Series. Oh, we're going to make that a noon Eastern
time. Oh, no, wait. Friday. No, I'm sorry. It's Saturday, right?
No, Friday.
Is it tomorrow night?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Tomorrow is Saturday.
No, tomorrow, Friday, and then if necessary, Game 7 will be Saturday.
And that's also a 5 p.m.
Yes, I think the Schnitzel Wolf is correct. I think they've all been the same time.
All right. The College Football Thursday Reach Around is next. Here's Schultz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, thanks for being with us here on a Thursday, where it's time for the Thursday Reach Around.
I would like to point out that IT fixed Rob's computer by turning it off and then back on.
That's right. Those guys don't make enough money, man. Amazing. Although now my internet's not working, but, you know.
You can't call them back in at this point.
No, I'll just restart it or something. Anyway, what was I going to tell you? Oh, Dan Lanning, not on our show today.
On other shows, though.
Yeah. He didn't have time for us, but he had time for Rich Eisen. And there is audio, and we will play that for you in our not Dan Lanning interview at 4 o'clock.
The non-Dan... Now, is this the non-Dan Lanning pregame or the non-Dan Lanning postgame?
You could call this the pregame.
Okay.
You mean right here now?
Yeah.
Right here now.
And then we'll go into this non-Dan Lanning interview, and then we can do the non-Dan Lanning postgame.
I mean, we could... I hadn't planned on it, seeing as how there's no Dan Lanning, you know, but, hey, you can call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here now.
Yeah. Can we talk about Dan Lanning just wearing a hooded sweatshirt in the monsoon?
Yeah.
Can we get a rain jacket on that
guy? He doesn't care. And no. I love that.
I can't believe me. There wasn't a whole lot to watch about that game. And I will say that at least 2 quarters of that game, I spent wondering if he was going to put on a hat and or rain jacket.
He doesn't like hats.
Everyone, no. But, I mean, it was a full-on monsoon. And you know that just regular, like, hooded sweatshirt, you know that thing had to weigh, like, 17 pounds at that point.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then I was watching, like, when he went into the half, I'm like, did he change? Did he get a dry hoodie? I don't believe so.
Didn't?
I think he raw-dogged that same wet sweatshirt the entire game. And that's the sort of question I would like to ask, but we can't because, well, we're not Rich Eisen.
Well, we'll have him next week. You to put that on the list of questions.
I want to just like what we is it
being wet is a choice.
Is it a choice? Is that a toughness thing where we can't be bothered with rain jacket?
He's just an Oregonian at heart, guys.
Well,
maybe
I mean,
so.
Well, I own a rain jacket.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know,
they help.
Yeah, it makes a
sometimes
difference.
He could have put on one of those like bucket hats.
Yeah.
That would have been kind of cool.
Will Stein had the rain jacket on. Everyone did. Not Dan Lanning. I was waiting to see if he was going to do the Rocky towel maybe around the neck. No, just straight Sharpies and hooded sweaties.
One of our listeners said he was asked about it at his press conference, and he said he did not change at all.
Okay, so he just
soaked
man
the whole time.
Why?
What a man.
But why?
Because it's a choice.
Yeah,
but
I think
again,
that's it.
I'm asking the
question. I think he's sending a message to his team. It doesn't matter.
That message is, Okay.
The message is, it don't matter.
Sack up.
Sack up.
But why be uncomfortable when it's unnecessary
he
to be?
He ain't uncomfortable. You think he's uncomfortable?
He's uncomfortable.
That man loves to coach.
You can't convince me that he wasn't uncomfortable wearing a soaked through hooded sweatshirt.
The beauty of this is that you get to ask him all of these questions.
I'm going to.
You better remember. No, you know what? You're not going to remember. I'm going to put it in my notes.
Put that
We're
in
asking
notes.
Him.
Yeah.
Were you uncomfortable with a soaked
hoodie.
Wardrobe?
Yeah.
Soaked.
That's just a plain old. Now I'm
like even the pants.
Yeah.
Everything was
the
soaked.
The pants might even be worse.
Yeah.
Because once you get wet undies, that's not drying out.
Yeah, the
and they're just
foot.
Heavy.
And that's leading to chafing. That's thighs rubbing together. Dude, that's just no good. It's no good. We've all been playing golf and been caught without the rain parents, and once it gets to the undies, you're cooked. You're cooked.
Yeah, I just don't think... I think that it's a good glimmer into the mindset of, would be the word, like, a football coach, but like a psychotic football coach?
It's possible.
That's a good... Yeah. This tells you that they are not thinking about anything and don't care about anything outside of the next play call or how his team's playing.
Someone said he is warmed by his football intensity. He's just all he needs is a football game and some zen, and his internal temperature goes up to 99 degrees.
Coaching in wet clothing builds character.
I have never understood that being miserable thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can call it the Not Dan Lanning pregame show.
Yeah.
I prefer to call it the College Football Thursday Reach Around.
Okay, let's reach.
And we will do it coming up next. Matt Rhule is not going anywhere.
Why? Why, Nebraska? What are you doing?
And another guy wants the Oregon State job, or does he? Next on The Fan. Yeah, I'm getting confirmation from my Duck sources that Lanning said he didn't change his clothes at halftime that were sopping wet because he wanted... He said if the team is wet, he is wet, and he wanted to show them that he is with them.
Question, though. Having played in many wet games, you do get to go in at the half and change. You get to put on a dry undershirt. You can change into dry cleats. You can change into dry socks. You can get your ankles retaped. And then when you go to the sideline, you can put on rain jackets. You can put on little stocking caps. There's dry
eaters. But these go to 11.
Something to be said about Rod Dogging at their suit.
That's right. That's right. How are you sitting up here questioning the man, Dan Lanning, about his coaching tactics?
He's in it. That guy is a psycho of the highest order, and
yeah.
I love it.
He is an animal.
Yeah.
Okay. Thursday College Football Reach Around. You could call it our Not Dan Lanning pregame. In the Not Dan Lanning interview coming up next, you will hear from Dan Lanning, ironically.
Hey.
He was on Rich Eisen, and Rich asked him about leaving Oregon for another job.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere, but we already knew that. And I don't know how many times he has to say that, but said it again.
It is nice, though, that when you see like the names that are popping up on these jobs, his name is not mentioned in any of them.
No, not even. And we'll get to this later. I do have a pretty hefty coaching carousel update.
Okay.
Will Stein's name is not being floated out there much
anymore. No, it's
odd.
It is interesting because sitting there, their offense has been so good this year. Yeah, you would have thought that his name would have been popping up a little
bit
more.
Well, I think that's not what we're going to cover here. But the short version of that is, according to the ESPN report, a lot of these programs that are looking for coaches, they're big time programs, and they're not going the coordinator route.
Yeah,
the hierarchy is
they want
a proven coach from another school first. Then it goes to the group of five guys like Summerall, and then it goes to coordinators.
Yeah.
So coordinators start to get jobs once other guys leave go to the bigger jobs.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the domino effect.
Yeah.
At any rate, Matt Rhule is not leaving Nebraska. We learned today.
No.
He got a 2-year extension. He does not get any more money.
Although he does get more money, it's just not immediate money. In a couple years, he gets bumped up. By the time this thing is getting to the back half of it, he will have gone from making $8.5 million to $12.5 million. So I think Nebraska is trying to position this as, hey, we didn't... Right now, there's a lot of heat on programs unnecessarily giving guys these giant contracts.
Yeah, exactly.
And Nebraska is having to give someone a contract that by no means is warranted. Matt Rhule has done nothing, and I mean nothing at Nebraska, to warrant any sort of extension. I would like to just point out that Matt Rhule, since getting to Nebraska, went 5-7, 7-6, and he's 6-2 this year. Would you care to guess what his biggest win is?
Northwestern.
Maryland, Northwestern?
Well, he's got a shot this weekend
To beat USC.
Because they host USC.
Yeah.
But he is the new James Franklin. You know, Matt Rhule's record against top 25 teams in his career.
It ain't good.
Is 2-23.
Yes. So this is how stupid college football is, and it will never change because programs can't get out of their own way. Matt Rhule has done nothing to warrant more money or an extension, and Nebraska today, merely on the idea that Penn State was sniffing around Matt Rhule, and the idea that Penn State somehow thought Matt Rhule, greater than James Franklin, minus the $50 million that you have to give to James Franklin to not be your coach. This, I have no sympathy for any of these programs because they're dumb. You're just trading you spent $50 million to try to go hire a lesser version of the coach that you just had. It makes no sense. And Nebraska is so paranoid. They're like, well, I guess we'll technically not give him more money, but we'll give you more years and we will give you more money. We're just going to try to position it because Nebraska doesn't want to come out and look like a clown by giving a guy that hasn't done anything, especially you imagine if they came out and said, hey, we're giving him a $4 million raise, and then you get your ass whooped by USC and you're like, welcome to another 3 or 4 loss season. So everyone's now trying to, no one wants to be LSU. No one wants to be Texas A&M. No one wants to be Florida State staring at a $50 million buyout because you look like a joke. But until schools actually show discipline and tell these coaches, no, you haven't earned this. We're not giving you a 10-year contract. This is just going to continue.
Yeah, but agents come into play too.
Well, and it's all run by the same like two agents.
Yeah, like Jimmy Sexton.
Yes.
Did you see the LSU, or not the LSU, I was about said LSU governor, the Louisiana governor?
Yeah.
He started peeing in the pot of Jimmy Sexton.
Careful. That's Lane Kiffin's agent.
Yeah, and Dan Lanning's agent, and like all the great coach, the coaches you're gonna want for your job are represented by Jimmy Sexton.
Yeah.
And he started blasting Sexton and agents, and dude, this guy's a grade A moron. Dude, they're gonna get Orgeron again, or whatever his name, Orgeron. They're gonna get him again. They can't get anybody else.
I actually think at a place like LSU, LSU is one of those programs, and I think Florida's this way. There's a handful that I don't think you need Nick Saban. I would like to point out that Les Miles and Ed Orgeron both won national championships at LSU. If LSU is forced, and I mean forced, to hire a non-proven guy, and you just go out and get either the young up-and-comer or you go get the rock-solid, who would be like a second-tier candidate? I'm trying to think of someone just off the top of my head. Who's
Drinkwitz?
Yeah, like a Drinkwitz.
Clark Lee?
And I think that's more, I'm trying to think of someone that's been somewhere a long time that wins, that wins 8 to 9 games. Like Jeff Brohm when he was at Purdue, right? There you go. There's a guy that was building something at Purdue and now he's at Louisville and he was never like the guy. Or like Matt Campbell at Iowa State would maybe be another one of those guys. It was a hot name for a little bit and then cooled a little bit. Someone like that, Kyle Whittingham, let's go like 6 years ago, because now he's not going anywhere. Like, if LSU has to hire one of those guys, LSU is going to be pissed because it's not the guy. It's not the sexy hire. Every one of those guys is capable of winning a national championship at LSU, and they might actually be better because they're going to come in and just be rock solid stabilizing forces. Like, at a place like LSU, I don't think you need Lane Kiffin or Steve Sarkisian to come in. There's a lot of good coaches out there that aren't going to make you spend $12 million and give them a lifetime deal.
And I'm glad you didn't have that Rafa Salafusha wouldn't have ever got past number one. Anyway.
I mean, why would you not rehire that guy? All right, so coming up next, not Dan Lanning, but Dan Lanning on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.